Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring building integrated productivity systems. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. Mm-hmm. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Yeah, it's a great topic.
It really is. But before we build anything, consider this. The average professional switches between different apps and windows over 1,000 times a day.
Wow, 1,000?
Over 1,000. I mean, we are spending this massive chunk of our cognitive energy just toggling screens, you know, searching for context and trying to remember where we left our train of thought. Today, we are going to fix that.
Yeah, that app switching statistic really grounds what we are talking about here, because the way we work has just completely fractured. I mean, information is everywhere, and because of that, our attention is, well, it's constantly shattered.
Let's visualize that fracture for a second. Imagine you are trying to cook, like, a complicated four-course dinner, but your kitchen appliances are scattered in completely different rooms of your house.
Oh, man.
Right. So your refrigerator is down in the basement. The oven is up in the attic. Your cutting board and knives are out in the garage, and your spices are, I don't know, hidden in the guest bathroom.
Well, I mean, you would spend 80% of your energy just running up and down the stairs carrying, like, a single onion from the basement all the way to the garage.
Exactly. And could you technically still cook the meal? I mean, sure, eventually.
Right, yeah.
But the friction makes it completely exhausting. By the time the food is ready, you're too tired to even eat.
Yeah, you just order takeout.
Totally. And that physical exhaustion, it maps perfectly onto the mental exhaustion of using unintegrated digital tools.
It really does.
You've got your tasks in one app, your calendar on another screen, your notes in some random desktop folder, and your team communication is just pinging on your phone. You're constantly running to the digital basement.
And, you know, the psychological cost of all that running around is profound. Yeah, in psychology, there is this concept called the Zeigarnik effect.
Wait, the Zeigarnik what?
Zeigarnik effect. It states that people remember uncompleted or interrupted tasks much better than completed ones.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So when your tools are scattered, your brain intuitively knows that things might slip through the cracks. It doesn't trust your messy digital house.
Because the spices are in the bathroom.
Exactly. So your working memory tries to, you know, aggressively hold on to all those open loops, the emails you need to reply to, the deadlines you can't quite remember.
The article you save somewhere but can't find.
Right. All of it.
So it isn't necessarily that we have too much to do.
Yeah.
It's more that our brains are carrying the anxiety of all these unlinked responsibilities because our system just isn't holding them securely.
That is the core of the issue right there. We really need to shift our thinking from just acquiring, you know, individual tools to building a productivity ecosystem.
Okay, an ecosystem.
Yeah, digital tools shouldn't just exist in isolation on your hard drive like standalone appliances. They need to be fundamentally connected.
So basically, if I link all my apps together, I can just, you know, crank through my to-do list twice as fast, like just an efficiency play.
Well, actually, no. Speed is just the byproduct.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The real shift is cognitive. When you move from a scattered approach to an ecosystem, you transition from a bucket brigade model of information to indoor plumbing.
A bucket brigade. Yeah. I like that. So, like, manually carrying information from one place to another?
Think about it. You get an email about a project.
Okay.
In a bucket brigade system, you read the email, you manually copy the action item, you open your to-do list, paste it in.
Yep. Guilty. Yeah.
Then you look at your calendar, find an open slot, and manually type the task into Tuesday at 2 p.m.
Right.
You are the one carrying the bucket of water down the line. But an integrated ecosystem operates like indoor plumbing. Data flows automatically through pipes to where it is needed.
Okay, but how does that actually work mechanically? I mean, I hear ecosystem, and I think of these beautiful, hyper-complex setups people share online, using platforms like Notion or ClickUp or, you know, a highly customized Google Workspace. Mm-hmm. But how are these tools actually doing the plumbing?
Well, it comes down to underlying technology like APIs and relational databases.
Okay, let's break that down.
Sure. So an API or application programming interface is essentially a digital bridge. It allows two completely different software programs to talk to each other.
Okay.
It's what lets your task manager automatically tell your calendar, hey, block out this time. But the real magic that happens within relational databases, which is what tools like Notion and ClickUp are built on.
Okay, pause. Relational database sounds like something I'd need a computer science degree to manage. Keep it simple for me.
Fair enough. Think of a traditional spreadsheet or folder system. It's flat, a file lives in one folder, and well, that's it.
Right, my taxes 2023 folder.
Exactly. But a relational database treats your information as dynamic objects.
Dynamic objects. Okay.
So let's say you create a note for a client kickoff meeting. In a relational database, that note isn't just a static text file.
What else is it?
You can tag it to a specific client profile, assign a due date, and link it to a specific task. And because everything is related, that single meeting note automatically shows up on your calendar, on the client's dashboard, and on your daily to-do list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if you change the date in one place, it updates everywhere.
Okay, I see the power of that. Instead of me remembering to update three different apps to keep my life organized, the system updates itself through those links.
Precisely.
But honestly,
Right.
setting up a massive relational database with bi-directional linking sounds, incredibly intimidating.
It is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I feel like if I try to build this indoor plumbing from scratch this weekend, I'm just gonna, flood my digital house.
And you probably would. It is a massive mistake to try and build the ultimate complex ecosystem on day one.
So what's the alternative?
The goal isn't to create a frictionless spaceship control panel immediately. The strategy is consistency and slow iteration. You build minimum viable systems.
Right, so start with a single pipe.
Start with linking your calendar and your task manager. That's it.
Just those two.
Just those two. Don't worry about your notes or your project databases yet. Just get your daily actions and your daily time to talk to each other.
Okay, that feels doable.
Once that becomes a seamless habit, once you trust that pipe, then you integrate your note-taking system. The ecosystem must grow organically around your actual needs, not around, some idealized template you downloaded from the internet.
Let's put this into a concrete context. The lesson materials mentioned a specific case study of a student who was drowning in coursework, extracurriculars, and a part-time job.
Right, yeah.
They were suffering from that Zeigarnik effect, hard, like
Yeah.
constant anxiety about what they were forgetting.
Yes, and their intervention wasn't to just work harder.
Or sleep less.
Right, it was to build an ecosystem. They stopped keeping assignments hidden in the syllabus, shifts on a physical paper calendar, and study notes in random Word documents. They centralized it.
And the result was a massive drop in stress. But let's take that student scenario and let's extrapolate it.
Okay.
Because mastering this isn't just about surviving university midterms, this is about future career readiness.
Absolutely.
So let's imagine you are a young professional in a fast-paced environment. It's Tuesday morning, and you get an urgent message that a massive project deadline has been moved up by a full week.
Oh, nightmare scenario.
Right. So in a bucket brigade system, panic sets in. You have to manually comb through your calendar to find what to cancel. You have to dig through emails to find where the project assets are and rewrite your to-do list from scratch.
You lose half the day just reorganizing.
But with an integrated relational system.
Oh, it's completely different. You open your centralized dashboard, you drag the final milestone date forward by a week.
Just one drag.
That's one drag. Because your tasks are linked to that milestone, the system automatically highlights which dependent tasks are now overdue.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Because your notes are linked to the tasks, the briefs and research you need are sitting right next to the red alerts. You instantly see exactly which secondary projects need to be delayed or delegated to make room for this new priority.
Wow.
You handle a major disruption in minutes with complete calm.
Having that level of agility, it almost turns your integrated workflow into a kind of digital nervous system.
I like that.
Right. It automatically keeps you aligned. When the environment changes, the nervous system instantly sends signals to all different parts of your workflow so you can react smoothly.
A digital nervous system is a brilliant way to frame it because it grants you lifelong adaptability.
Yeah.
As new tools are invented or, your career changes, the underlying nervous system, the way you process and relate information, remains stable.
Okay, but I have to ask, having a digital nervous system reacting to everything instantly makes me a bit, nervous.
How so?
If my tools are that deeply connected, and my calendar is talking to my tasks, and my tasks are talking to my team's communication channels, aren't I just building a machine that forces me to be always on? It feels like I'm building a boss in my pocket that will just ping me 24/7.
Yeah, that is the shadow side of digital transformation for sure. And it requires strict, responsible use.
Okay.
If you build a hyper-efficient system without personal boundaries, you will just accelerate your own burnout. A true productivity ecosystem is designed to reduce unnecessary stress, not optimize you into a machine.
So the system should be a shield, not a leash. How do we actually make sure of that?
By using the system to create hard boundaries. See, when you use unintegrated tools, you never really know if you are done for the day.
Right, because you might have missed an email or forgotten a task somewhere.
Exactly. So you stay logged on, checking things, endlessly refreshing.
Yeah, the worst.
But when you have a trusted integrated system, you know exactly what was required of you today. And when those specific tasks are complete, you are finished.
You can just walk away.
You leverage the system to hold your responsibilities securely so you can close the laptop with a clear conscience. Responsible use means ensuring the technology serves your human well-being. It holds the stress so you don't have to.
The system works for you. You don't work for the system. I love that.
Exactly.
I want to pivot to the practical application of this. For the person listening, how do we actually go about adopting this? The lesson outlines 5 essential pillars for designing a personal productivity system.
Yes. To build your ecosystem, you really need to account for these 5 functions. Calendars to map your time, task managers to track your actionable steps, note systems to capture your knowledge.
Okay, that's 3.
Then workflow routines, which are the specific rules for how you move information between the first 3. And finally, review schedules.
And to help us figure out those routines, the lesson points to 3 foundational frameworks. Let's dig into these because they completely change the paradigm of how we work.
They really do.
The first one is Getting Things Done by David Allen. Published in 2001.
It is arguably the most influential productivity framework of the modern era. David Allen is really the one who popularized the idea that your mind is for having ideas, not holding them.
So the takeaway is just to write everything down in a big list.
Well, it is much more mechanical than that. 2 of the most powerful concepts from GTD are the mind sweep and the 2-minute rule.
Okay, what's a mind sweep?
A mind sweep is a deliberate practice of emptying every single open loop from your brain into an inbox. And I mean everything, not just work tasks, but, buy dog food, call mom, fix the door hinge.
Getting it all out.
Right. Once it is captured, your brain lets go of that Zeigarnik effect anxiety. Then, as you process that inbox, you apply the 2-minute rule.
Which is?
If an action takes less than 2 minutes to complete, you don't systemize it, you don't tag it, you don't put it in a database, you just do it immediately.
Oh, that makes sense. That prevents the system from becoming clogged with tiny, insignificant tasks. Okay, so the second framework is for the note systems pillar. It's Building a Second Brain by Tiago Forte, published in 2022. Now, I've heard people talk about this like they are building a giant personal Wikipedia where they save every article they ever read.
Which is exactly what Forte warns against.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you just hoard information by topic, like having a massive folder called marketing or psychology, it becomes a digital graveyard. You'll never find what you need.
Guilty again. So what's the alternative?
Forte introduces a massive paradigm shift called the PARA method. P-A-R-A. It stands for Projects, Areas, Resources, and Archives.
So how does that change the way I actually save a note?
It organizes information by actionability, not by topic.
Actionability.
Right. So if you read an article about social media algorithms, you don't save it in a general marketing folder. You ask yourself, what is the most immediate active project this is useful for? And then you save it right in the folder for your active Q3 campaign launch. You organize your knowledge based on where you were going to use it, which perfectly complements the relational database idea we discussed earlier.
Oh, I see. You are building pipes that lead directly to the work you are doing right now.
Yes.
That is a game changer. And the final framework supports the most critical part of this entire discussion, I think. The book is Atomic Habits by James Clear, published in 2018.
Yes, addressing the final and really most vital pillar, review schedules.
To me, the review schedule is the engine of the entire ecosystem.
Completely.
You can set up the most beautiful Notion workspace, capture all your tasks like David Allen, and organize your notes like Tiago Forte. But if you don't do a regular maintenance review, the plumbing clogs, the system breaks, and you are right back to the Zeigarnik effect.
A system is only as reliable as its last review. And this is where James Clear's concept of habit stacking becomes essential.
Habit stacking.
Yeah, you can't just hope you'll remember to review your system. You have to stack it onto an existing behavior.
Like taking 20 minutes every Sunday morning while your coffee is brewing.
Perfect example.
The coffee brewing is the existing habit. And updating your calendar, processing your task inbox, and archiving old projects is the new stacked habit.
Exactly. The review is the moment you step back from doing the work to managing the work. You check your pipes. Are the links still making sense? Are deadlines realistic? That Linkly ritual is the heartbeat of your digital nervous system.
It's how you build true digital confidence.
It really is.
Well, we've covered some serious ground today. We moved from the exhaustion of scattered kitchen appliances to the seamless flow of indoor digital plumbing. We explored how relational databases create a digital nervous system and how organizing by actionability instead of topic keeps that system alive.
And it all drives toward a single vital outcome, freeing up your cognitive capacity so you can focus on creativity, critical thinking, and honestly, your own well-being. As we bring this deep dive to a close, I want to leave you with a question to mull over. As you step into increasingly complex, AI-driven, digitally dense future workplaces, how will building a trusted, integrated system today protect your focus and your peace of mind tomorrow?
That is the exact question you should carry with you as you begin designing your own personal workflow. Start small, connect one pipe at a time. We encourage you to stay curious, be incredibly responsible with how you let technology interact with your boundaries, and stay future ready. Make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to really cement these mechanics.
And a final acknowledgement of the foundational reference materials that informed our exploration today. We discussed Getting Things Done by David Allen, published in 2001, Building a Second Brain by Tiago Forte, published in 2022, and Atomic Habits by James Clear, published in 2018.
Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. The next time you feel overwhelmed by your digital responsibilities, don't just run faster between the attic and the basement. Take a breath, look at your system, and start building your ecosystem. We'll catch you on the next one.